Meine Einwirkung, die nur genau gehört, there is a microphone that fits his accent. So I'm sorry, I can't hear you. My name is Borku, I'm originally from Ethiopia, that's where the accent is from. We have a ministry called Rise Together Ministries. Everything we do is under that. You can look at it on the website. We have a job development program, a trip store, outreach. We are in South City, but we are in the process of expanding either in Hazelwood area or St. Charles in this area, Florence and Hazelwood, something we are in the process of trying to expand. And I'm also part of what we call in Zegus the disciple making movement. To make disciples, that we make disciples. God is doing amazing things. We have done like 14 trainings so far, and we believe that when every believer is willing to disciple, somebody is discipling. That is a movement that came actually from Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Ethiopia, where there are about 73 movements and more than 130,000 people. Most of the Muslims came to Christ, and most changed into churches. So God is doing amazing things there. We are trying to bring that movement here. I have two kids. My wife is from Wichita. She's not from Ethiopia, so she always thinks I am crazy. And as you know, marriage is even from the same culture, it's cross-cultural, and you can add the accent. And our first fight was, I thought the weather was too cold, she thought it was too hot, so I was kicked out of my honeymoon to go and sleep on the couch because I felt the cold. So we had a very interesting cross-cultural relationship, and you'll see them. We have two kids, Sami is 11, and Hannah, who's an autistic, is 8, and God has blessed me. Then we come up to the end because Anna, because she's not for about autistic, she has a tendency to disturb, so we don't want to disturb you. Good. Today, just so you know, I'm not going to have you sit and listen to me. You are going to participate with me. So we'll all preach to us together. And you'll see that it's a different way, but I want you to be part of that because I don't want any member to be sleeping because they don't understand my accent. So I'll share my testimony because it's so, I don't like to talk about myself, but I want to share my testimony because it goes with the message, and then we'll go to the passage. When my mom passed away when I was 1 year old, my brother was 40 days old, and she was actually killed by her own brother, so I never had a mom growing up. And when I was at a teenage year, my father saw a problem with my life, and my father disowned me. So I lost my mom. I figuratively lost my father, so I was like 14, so I was looking for a father, and I couldn't find a father. And then I heard this passage spoken to a preacher who came to our school. He said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. I said, wow! This is amazing. Now God is going to become my father. Actually, it reads like this in our language. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he became their father. So God became my father. I have been going through for the last 32 years. God has become my father, and I can't tell you. He's a best father. If you have him, you have all you need, even through pain, even through struggle. So, we will talk about this, Father. Let's stand and pray today. Father, we thank you for the truth that you are our Father, and we want to understand your heart today together. We want to know your heart, that loving heart, that caring heart, that sees to the world cries, when will my son come back? Father, today I pray as you follow us, that you give us that heart that loves you, that trusts you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read Luke 15, 11 to 32. We'll focus on 11 to 20 for today, but let's read the whole thing. Who's a good reader? Better than me. All of you are better than me, but who will be willing? Go ahead.
And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he had squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'"
Amen. So I told you we are going to do this preaching together, right? Right?
Right.
Yeah. So I want you to be divided in four groups. I will give you 7 minutes, 10 minutes to do something. So you can, four groups is enough. Please. And then I'll give you the assignment. So here is you, for the next 10 minutes, here is what I want you to do. I want you to focus only on verse 22 through 24. I don't want you to spiritualize it. I want you to tell me what you observe about that father. That Jesus tells us about his father, what he did. What did he do? What did the father do? I want you to tell me that. I want you to write and say, "Not discuss with each other, talk to each other, and let me know what you think about the fire. Is every group done or? Can I have a couple of minutes? Okay. Who has a good handwriting? Sorry. You invited me, so. Who has a good handwriting? Who can help me? Yeah, come. So each group will tell us what the observer, what the pattern will write here. So whoever takes the note is the person who has prepared.
So you're our spokesperson.
Okay. I was hurt. Father was available and he was looking for him. And he went and he didn't send a servant.
He didn't send for him. Explain that hope. What is the hope? What's the point of that?
The hope was that he knew that his son was coming back.
Yes. Okay. Good.
And he rejoiced when
even though he saw dead,
he called his son. Rejoice.
From this side,
he gave sacrificially. What he gave was expensive, so he counted his son worth of those expensive things.
Yeah, expensive things like the ring, the best things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something he doesn't deserve. This is not a good son.
He
gave him the expensive things. Anybody? Yes, sir. He forgave him.
Right, and
like you said,
he wanted nothing but the best.
The best. He gave him the best. Undeserved the best.
There's no resentment.
Yeah.
On the part of the father.
Shocking, right? So, thank you very much. It's very interesting because another word for available is he was always watching and waiting.
Right.
He was hoping his son would come back. That's amazing. After everything the son has done, he doesn't deserve anything the father is doing. It's so weird that the father was waiting for him. He also celebrated when he came back. You know? It's just amazing. This son has done the worst thing to his dad. But when he comes, there was a big party. Everybody's just invited to that party. He gave me a gift. Overwhelming joy. Let's just celebrate. Let's enjoy this son's dead, he's alive now. Very generous. And he understood where his son has been. He was dead. He's found. He was lost, he's found. He's dead, he's alive. That's amazing. That's beautiful. So let's talk together about This is, Jesus is talking about the heart of God when he talks about this. God as a father, how he looks to the lost world. So let's take that to God. The heart of God is brings dead people to life. This man was dead in his sin. God forgave him. So when you look to the world, you see many dead people. They're really in their sin. But I cannot tell you how many times every day I met people who are drug addicts, gays, people who are lost, who don't even know what they talk about. Can you imagine what Jesus would do if he meets these people? When do you think Jesus would hang out if he comes to save us? I think those people who are dead, because the Father knows how to give life to the dead, very compassionate. He is still waiting. That's the most important point in this. The Father was waiting. There are brothers and sisters like you and me who are in the world that the Father is waiting to come back. Please do not be like the brother. The Father, when he sees them, when they came, when they realize what they have been through, the Father celebrates. There's a big celebration for every person that comes. But they cannot come unless you have patience and love like the Father. That's what having them. We'll talk, we'll come full circle, what that means to us. But we have to have that really new heart that sees people in a new way. That compassion that's needed to bring them to Christ. And when people come to Christ, this is heaven came to earth. We have to learn to celebrate when somebody came to Christ, because it's the most joyful thing, the most miracle. I don't know why people look for miracles. If you see on the internet, people look for miracles. It's the biggest miracle. And the biggest thing the enemy wages a war against church is so that people will not come to Christ. When they come to Christ, God can make heaven. He can mess up heaven to earth so that one person, Luke 15 is all that story. It's not about you who already know Jesus. It's about that lost person. We all have to be like that. It's just something to celebrate, to dance, to be joyful about. That's the most important thing. We have to wait and celebrate. I'll tell you a couple of stories that just makes me so joyful. We have a ministry, we have a big group of the Nepalese. The Nepalese people, as you know, are mainly Buddhists, Hindus, things like that. So, Jesus said, I make you fishers of men, right? All of us are fishers. He sent us. So this guy is the worst of the Nepalese community. He doesn't know how to read in Nepalese. He doesn't know how to read in English. He has a family. And in our job development program, we have a small clean janitorial work. So my dear friend Dan Davis make his house available to train these Nepalese how to clean. So, do more learn how to clean. We have been teaching him English. We have never said to him, you have to believe. sometimes you do that, right? For lost sinners, you have to do this. No, we want to sin a year and a half. He asked us many times, why do you do this? Because we love him. So after a year and a half, the Holy Spirit was working with us. And doom came to Christ. He said, I want to be baptized, I want to follow Christ. Because that love God used through us, you cannot resist. In Kenya, Dr. Aila Kasi, the movement we are doing, as I told you earlier, they went into this tribal area and they preached Christ, and the whole tribe came to Christ. As they get ready to leave, this lady came in front of the bus and said, you cannot leave. They said, why? If you are really believe in Christ, there is this loving God. You have to teach us about this God and stay with us. That's how exactly the movement was born in Kenya. So when we have that heart of God, that secret place, that patience like the Father, we can see change. So do we have that heart of God? Do we have that longing to see our brothers and sisters who have not come to come to Christ? Just like the Father, that's what having the Father heart means. The Father gave his ring to this undeserving son, and that son became part of the family. So, you know, it's very easy to be just like the son because he doesn't deserve. So, but the Father invited him and made him part of that. So, today as Christians, what makes us worry so much? What is our biggest concern? As believers, do we have that heart? Because the scripture says, the world will know you by your love. That's the heart of the Father. We cannot be known by what we hate. We should be known by what we love. Right? Are we known as Christians? I'll leave that to you. God loved us while we are still sinners. So, to those who are sinners, we cannot stop showing God's love, no matter what their sins. This son was the worst, so you are invited to show love to this lost world. We are. That's what happens after the Father is. Do we look at the world as the Father looks the world? How do we envision when we see the world? It's very, very important. Paul speaks about this years later, what it means to have the heart of the Father. For Christ's love, compassion compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer be for themselves, but for him who died for them and who was raised again. Listen to this. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What does it mean? How do you regard people from a worldly point of view? So that person is a smoker. It's disgusting. How many times did we use that word? You know, I heard Christians using that. Oh, that person is a thief. He deserves to go to jail. And I'm not saying that, but that's the world's word. We as believers are invited to see the wedding with the heart of the Father. None of us deserve the love God gave us, right? We don't deserve that. So, how? Paul says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regard Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation, something to celebrate. The old has gone, the new is here. So he says to us, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He took us, people who don't deserve to be loved, he reconciled us. God reconciled us to himself. Now he wants us, he wants to reconcile with those who are to come to him through us as ambassadors. But we have to have the heart of God. We have to have that beautiful heart that forgives, that says, yes, you deserve to be loved. My flesh says no, but my heart, that godly heart, says yes. God was consigning the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are given that. If you don't have the heart of God, you cannot go into that. So, let me give you some practical application. After that, you will talk to yourselves in your group, and then we'll pray. I have seen numbers. I don't know, Sarin. I know some of you, and I just love the culture. I just love what's going on here, but I want to remind you something. If you, all your friends and 24 hours, if you are spending only with believers, there is something wrong with your life. You have to look a way to find people who do not know Christ, to be friends with them, to have some kind of engagement. Not a hit and run, you know, that gospel, just I teach them, I told them about Christ, now it's on them. You cannot do that. That's not, because Jesus sent the 70, do you remember? He said to them, go into the house, stay. Or the story I told you, or what we did with Dumo. You have to have a continual engagement with prayer, but you have to live outside of your Christian bubble. That's very, very important. St. Luke's is one of the most dry places spiritually, though there are so many churches. There are like 3-4 churches around here. Just shocking when you see it from. But we, you know, in our job development program, I met another lady, 55-year-old lady. So I was talking about the church, and I told her I'm a pastor. She said, the church is very hypocrite. So she has this hate for the church. Sometimes that's right or wrong. That's not the point. So we start working with Doris for over a year. So one day in passing, I was talking. Jesus died for my sin. I don't have to do anything to get God's favor. I was talking about salvation, not to her directly. There was a discussion. She said, I'm 55-year-old. I went to church all my life. Nobody told me that. He came to Christ that day. You know what happened? She died after a year. I was dancing because I know God, the Father, is celebrating to accept her. So I'm asking you, as a church, not only to add numbers, even to multiply that, all of you need to have friends, some kind of relationship outside of the Christian world. Do you have friends? Could be in a school, could be in your office, could be your neighbors, could be other social settings. If you want to have the heart of the Father, that's the first step, because you are ambassadors. So, you don't have to tell me this, but I want you to go back to your groups and talk to each other before we pray to finish the sermon. How you can obey this. What does it mean for you to obey? You may not even know. You can say to your group, pray for me that God will show me how to obey this. So I'm not trying to make you legalistic, but this is a very serious thing. And many, many people miss this. But the Christian world is a very comfortable world. You know, for example, when we go to Sunday morning to church, our children are taken care of. There is coffee and donuts. And there is a preacher who is preaching good preaching. And I am accumulating knowledge of Christ. What do I need? That's how we think. God says, no, I want you to have my heart. I want you to go out to the world. So go back to your group and see if there is something God has put for you to obey this in the coming week. Next week, to obey this, I will tell you what mine is. We have a thrift store. So for 3 hours next week, I'm going to sit and see if there is somebody I can engage, somebody who needs love, and I will try to lead them or to start some work with them. I'm going to do that on Wednesday. So go back to your groups and share one thing. At least say, pray for me so that I can see that I want to have the heart of God. I want to see what the house Holy Spirit leads me. At least say that, or if there's something in you, talk to yourself. I'll give you 5 minutes and then we'll pray. Father, we thank you for the day where Jesus will come back and rejoice to see the brothers and the sisters. You work with us to reach, celebrate you with us. I pray for each person here. Thank you for this fellowship, for this church, for what you have done through the years. I pray that each person will see and sense the leading of your Holy Spirit as they try to find that person who gave up, who's lost. As you are waiting for that person to come back, I pray you use each person, whether it's their family, their coworkers, their neighbors, their friends, or somebody they don't know, maybe the guy who works at the gas station, or the person in the grocery store. That's the person just on the road, on the coffee house, Father. Whoever that person that's lost and gave up will see something different in each one of us. And they may engage. Help us to engage. Help us to see the world the way you see it. In need of love, not hate. In need of heavenly love, not worldly love. Heavenly agape love that heals. I pray that you remain self-love to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your presence, for what you have done, for it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.